being dark, and all of that. Mm-hmm. And what's happening to the people who have been working with you, have been the subjects of some of the things that you gleaned out of the Bible, and they are doing. And let's find out what happened to them. I'm with Drs. Lee and Vivian Gladden tonight, the authors of Heirs of the Gods. We're talking about the threshold of immortality on Open Mind on Talk Radio 79 KABC. In terms of, what are you doing? Are you changing diets and supplements? And
changing diets, having people take supplements, minerals, vitamins, superfoods like the adaptogens, for instance, ginseng and so on. Supplemental RNA, DNA, doing this five-stage rest process, and then monitoring blood panels and monitoring indices of aging. And what we've found is that there is solid scientific evidence that aging can not only be retarded, but it can actually be reversed. And the reason for that is that although we don't yet know how to turn the biological clock back, our genetic engineers think we may be on the threshold of that too. Most of us age a good deal beyond what our gene program calls for through what we call lifestyle-related aging.
Mm-hmm.
When we break the rules of life, this accelerates and hastens aging. But down underneath, our genes still call for us to be the younger age. And if we start doing the right things again, as our cells are replaced, and they are replaced frequently, the ones that replace the old ones will be younger and more vital. Mm-hmm. And we will actually reverse. We will grow younger, and that is possible.
Well, we're always cloning our own cells, and if we start a process of improving the quality of our cells, then the clones of our cells will be improved.
That's right, and we've seen people over and over again, and we have the proofs of it in their blood panels and in their indices of aging. Drop their cholesterol, drop their blood pressure, drop their triglycerides, get rid of the lipofuscin spots. The wrinkles soften. All of these evidences of aging and the onset of degenerative diseases can be slowed and even reversed.
So you're seeing this actually happen, the aging process being turned around, not the cosmetic aging necessarily.
That too.
That too, but
it's not as dramatic as the non-cosmetic. That inward part of it.
The aging of the vital organs.
Yeah, the part that really counts, you know, that's what
that's
keeps
right.
you going.
That's right.
Of course, we would all like to look like Vivian. Well, I mean, the girls would all like to look like Vivian, and the guys would all like to look like you, Lee.
Bill, what we're saying is that the DNA, to reiterate, it winds back up and it tightens like a spring. You have a spring, mm-hmm. and it tightens up again. And so, truly, cosmetically, I've had patients come to me. And as Lee mentioned before, I've had them come, and they have lipofuscin spots, which people call liver spots.
Mm-hmm. Those little brown spots?
Yes.
Like this one here?
Hmm? Where?
No.
I have to look at that. And you have none. And they remit. I've had women come to me. I had a friend at 32. Well, when I first met her, she was 32. We became friends, and actually I was her mentor and her teacher. She's 51 now. She had a dowager hump at 32. She has no dowager hump now.
What is a dowager hump?
When the spine begins to, when you get early osteoporosis, that's the...
curvature of the spine.
Yes.
And you get all this fat then building up on the back so that you have a hump almost like a camel.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. you see. So the indices of aging become arrested. Cosmetically... You begin to look different physically. Graying is stayed, and
your energy level improves. Your sex life improves.
You really got our attention now. All of that improves.
All of that can come out of doing the right things.
And it's fun. It's
following the rules instead of breaking them.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you ready to talk to the folks out there a little bit?
I've been so enamored with
what you've had to say that I've not been with them for an hour and a half, and I rarely stay away from them that long. Let's give them a shot. Marty, you're on with Drs. Lee and Vivian Gladden.
Hello, Bill and your guests.
Hello, Marty.
Hello, Marty.
Hi. In a reference to your book, Heirs of the Gods, what is your interpretation of the symbols and the end time coming wars and pestilence?
Well, we've certainly got a pestilence, a plague that's pandemic. No, and that's one of the signs.
We may have one on our hands right now.
Yes.
And AIDS.
I said yes, pandemic, yes, yeah. And it's...
And there's a breakdown of the immune system right there. And that's bringing in itself more attention to the function of the immune system, which very few people thought about.
That's right.
All at once they find it.
We've said very little about that, and but...
Have you done any research on the symbols behind that?
Oh, sure.
Yes, we have.
Of course we have, but...
Our last chapter is called They're Coming Back, and we discuss these in great detail in Heirs of the Gods.
And the launch window is open. They're on their way back, and these pestilences and plagues and so-called these new diseases that are upon us are a sign of the end days, simply because of the way that they come about, because they are mentioned specifically in the sacred literature, what will happen if certain conditions exist in the society that will bring on a epidemic
sure,
like we have.
Many people have thought that the age they were living in the past,
yes,
fit the end time signs and symbols that are in the book of Revelation, but never before have so many events fit those signs as is true today. And we believe, on the basis of our analysis, archaeolinguistic analysis, that we do have evidence that this is indeed the age that the celestials not only had foretold or foreseen, but had visited by what we call the time travel approach.
Broken space-time, or curved it,
mm-hmm,
and taken a look at it.
Because the description is too precise for some of the things that are going on for it to have been in, or to be any other time.
You know, you take a look at something, Marty, like, you know, the epidemic that we have of AIDS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about it, but what we don't hear about, which we do hear about here at the radio station quite often, and we do try to relate it to you, is the enormity of it.
I was going to mention
it
that.
Is far beyond what most people think in terms of the death factor that we're going to start experiencing. And it's irreversible, it seems, at this moment, and everybody is involved.
And it says in Revelation that a third of the population of the earth will be wiped out at one point. Of course, when I was speaking of end-time events that could not be other than those that occur in our time, one of the most remarkable, of course, is the return of the Jews to form the State of Israel. Mm-hmm. And at several points in the Bible, you remember it says, and Revelation is one, that in the end time, the Jews, after a worldwide dispersion, and they've had only one worldwide dispersion, will return, and the nation of Israel will be reborn. And this happened, of course, in 1948, and it says that within the lifetime of those who see this event, the celestials will return.
I think Jesus said that, in fact.
That's right.
Oh, yes, Jesus said that. You look at Matthew, mm-hmm, 24, and also it said that in Daniel 12 that men would run to and fro, and the knowledge would be greatly increased, and that after Israel became a nation, it wouldn't be that much longer before the return of the celestials, but in the interim, these plagues, as they are mentioned in the Bible, would become so just...
catastrophic.
So catastrophic that,
well,
as he said, a third of the people would be wiped out.
Well,
and there'd be no place to hide.
AIDS is now catastrophic.
I said, and there'd be no place to hide.
Pandemic,
yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hopefully there will be a way to stop it, but...
5 million people in Africa are now carrying the virus, and they estimate that by 1990, 5 million may be carrying it in this country.
And they just found a new one last week in Sweden,
mm-hmm,
a new type of the virus. So there it is. Okay. We're looking at it happen.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
Okay. Nice talking with you.
And we have Charlotte on. Charlotte?
Oh, hi, Bill.
How are you?
Nice to speak with you again. And Dr. Gladden.
Thank you.
Hello, Charlotte.
I am legally blind, and I would love to have Heirs of the Gods on tape. Would that be possible?
We certainly hope in the near future that that would be possible. And
or that we will have a Braille edition of it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wouldn't be possible for me. I'm at an age where they don't recommend it.
Don't recommend what, Braille?
Braille, mm-hmm.
Something the matter with your fingertips?
Yes, there's not as much feeling.
I see.
And I would like to know if you do mention anything about reincarnation or the coming back of whatever.
In our book?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
Yes, I'd like to hear something. And that was about all I had to ask you about. I hope you do make a tape.
Well, is reincarnation dealt with?
We
hope so, too. What is it?
Is there something you would like to know about reincarnation, Charlotte?
Yes, I'd like to.
From their point of view?
Yes, I don't think anyone is positive.
About whether reincarnation occurs or not?
Yes, yes. I know there's mention in the Bible.
Well, the thing we found was...
very vague.
Yes, this was not an essential part of the Hebrew belief, of course, although it was an essential part of some of the Greek and Gnostic beliefs that influenced the writers of the New Testament. So you do find, especially in the New Testament, what appear to be animations. For instance, at one point there is a suggestion that John the Baptist may have been a reincarnation of Elijah. Although, interestingly, according to the account in the Old Testament, he could not be because Elijah never died. He was translated to heaven alive, which would make it a difficult thing for him to be reincarnated as John the Baptist.
Yes.
Not impossible, but difficult.
Difficult.
Yes. Paul in Corinthians 15, in that chapter, 15 or 13, says, though I speak with the tongues of angels and have not charity, and then further along, he says that I will be known as I am known. I see through a glass darkly now, but then I will be known as I am known. And how we have understood reincarnation hitherto does not the traditional concept of reincarnation is we have a new reevaluation of that in terms of our archaeolinguistics,
and that is discussed in our book
called
Pentecost and Biocosmic Energy.
Yes, chapter 13 in Heirs of the Gods.
Well, I know that in the Sumerian papers and some of the older writings,
yes,
the Catholic Church did teach it, and the early Christians.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
That was Gnostic influence there.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And
a,
Middle Eastern.
It was a great deal of the writings of St. Augustine.
Yes, St. Augustine, yes.
And all of them wrote a great deal about it.
It was part of the Neoplatonic theory, yes, which influenced so much of the early Christian fathers' writings.
They were pillars of the church, and at that time, as you know, there was no organization to the church other than just the congregations themselves, and then passed from congregation to congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, St. Augustine was just brilliant. And
in many ways, it certainly was. Does that help you, Charlotte?
Oh, it certainly does, and I do thank you.
We thank you, Charlotte, for calling.
And let you know whenever we get that recorded so that you can enjoy Heirs of the Gods.
Thank you very much.
Nearest to that is to listen to the show from time to time.
Oh, I have been listening to you for years.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you again.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and with me, Doctors Lee-ing on the threshold of immortality from the research that they found primarily in the Bible as they get into its archaeolinguistics. And we have John on the line. Hello, John.
Hiya, Bill. This is John Erickson.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Hello, John.
Hi, Vivian and Lee.
How are you? Hi. Nice to talk with you.
Nice talking with you. And Karen and I are enjoying you very much.
Thank you.
And we have not read Heirs of the Gods, but we're going to go out and get it.
Shame.
Heirs of the Gods. Right?
Shame
right
on you, John.
Listen, I have an offer, Bill, to the Lady Charlotte. I will record the book for her.
Wonderful.
Isn't that nice?
All right.
Charlotte,
bless your heart.
No,
Charlotte, if you're listening.
She sounds so sincere and really in need of it and wants to do it, and I just right away instinctively said to Karen, I'm going to do that book for that lady.
John,
so
that is one of the most
do.
Devious so, plans I've ever seen to get a copy of the book.
Pardon me? Oh, I did. You mean, yes, of course. Signed, right?
All right,
that's beautiful, John.
Charlotte, I wish... Charlotte, if you're still with us, I want you to contact us back here, or me at the radio station, because the gentleman that's making the offer is one of the movie industry's fine, fine actors, John Erickson. And he said that he would record Heirs of the Gods
for
you.
I'll leave this one with you.
All right, John.
Fine.
Well,
we
fine.
Have your copy here. John, that is a marvelous gesture for Charlotte.
Well,
and we'll just make a few other tapes for the others who haven't had a chance to read.
You know, I think Vivian and Lee's work and what they have to offer to the world, I mean, it's really commendable, and I think the world is going more and more in that direction. And I'm glad there's a great spiritual awakening in the world going on right now.
Well, you just made my day.
Yes.
You made it.
What?
Your signed copy will be here with Bill.
Okay, great. One day, Karen and I look forward to meeting the both of you.
Oh, we'd very much love
that. We would have come down tonight. We usually come down to see Bill when he's got some great folks on like you, but we got tied up with our work today.
Oh,
awesome. So Karen sends her love to you, Bill, and to Vivian and Lee.
All right.
As well.
All right, John, I've got your copy of the book here.
Okay.
Charlotte,
we'll get together.
Maybe you can come Tuesday and we can meet you then.
All right.
Hey, that's an idea.
I'll be talking, I'll talk to Bill, I'll call you at home, Bill.
Okay, John.
And I'll get off the line now so you can have some other people talk.
All right.
And ask questions.
How very generous and delightful of you, John.
My
pleasure.
Thank you,
John.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, John. Right.
John Erickson.
Blessings.
Fine actor. First time I saw John was in a story about alien beings, in fact, in one of the movies. He's done so many other things. Great fan of the show and a dear friend of mine. And Charlotte, you have a treat for you. And in fact, we'll just keep some copies of that tape that John may make and give it to other people who,
Wonderful.
Who are blind and cannot read, and you can hear John's version of it. While we just have this little break here, let's go over where you're going to be. Now, this Tuesday night, you're going to be at the Holiday Inn
at the airport. Yes, the Mind Expansion Institute.
And that number for all the particulars on that is 818 that you should think about in your diet. I want you to rework that red meat thing, though. I'll never let you off the hook on that one. That number is area code 213-658-5195.
We'll be happy to talk with listeners about their own individual supplement programs, if they'd like.
And if you'd like a copy of, you have an anti-aging diet sheet.
Yes, we do.
That you can just sort of take care of it yourself.
This is what you eat rather than the supplements, the foods,
the things that you want to have in your diet, like beef and lamb and...
It's the diet that we follow.
Don't
that
be
keeps,
naughty, Bill.
It's the diet we follow that keeps Vivian looking the way she looks.
Well, that certainly is causing me to think again about all of that stuff I have out in the freezer. That address is 2265 Westwood Boulevard, number 249, Los Angeles, California, 90064. And, of course, these numbers and addresses are on file with us here at Broadcast Information.
The self-addressed envelope.
Oh, yeah, send a self-addressed envelope, and you're just going to send a dollar, right? You need a dollar for handling.
For handling,
yeah. To that address, and you get your anti-aging diet sheet. Kiss all your red meat goodbye. Well, what is it? You have all of that. Okay. Let's go on, and Kurt, you're on.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Lee. Hello, Vivian.
Hello, Kurt.
I have your book, and I think it's a masterpiece.
Thank you.
And I've given up red meat.
Excellent. Wunderbar.
I feel a lot better, too.
You think I'd go out of body if I gave up red meat?
So lately, I've been going out of body quite a bit. Well, I have a couple of real quick questions. I was wondering if... you could elaborate just a little more on the plagues and the horrors that are, you know, that seem to be coming upon us quickly. I see it, and it kind of worries me.
Well, it worries us all. I used to wonder as a child when the Bible spoke of the rivers would run red with blood.
Yes.
And when, through our archaeolinguistics, we find that the word that we get there is decay and pollution. Actually, in Psalms 92, it says that all of the world is fallen into decay, will fall into decay, and when you look it up, you actually get the word pollution. So it's talking... yes, yes.
Did you see the televised pictures of the Rhine?
I was going to mention the Rhine.
I just about cried when I read that.
Oh, I did.
Well, another one is the Niagara River, and I lived for 30 years in Buffalo, 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the Niagara River smelt like Listerine.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this beautiful, magnificent river that, you know, there it is, Niagara Falls, and Niagara Falls smelt mm-hmm. like the outflow of Dow Chemical. Well, in fact, that's what it was, come to think of it.
Of course.
And said that the inhabitants of the sea would be destroyed. Well,
I
saw the Rhine pictures.
That makes a lot of sense, and you know, as that
you don't have to go that far. You can go to Santa Monica Bay.
Oh, for sure.
Santa Barbara.
That incident at Cameroon. I mean, they say the water turned blood
yes.
red.
Yes.
That was. I mean, I've never heard of anything like that.
A terrible thing, wasn't it?
Yes. The waters turned red, and
Chernobyl,
yes, mm-hmm. and oh gosh, I mean, I'm afraid to go out and read the headlines of the paper tomorrow. I don't know.
But that's an interesting thing, Vivian, that the waters turn red. That when you get into the etymology of it, that meant pollution.
Oh, I actually got the word pollution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which can be any kind of color, and certainly the red waters, which was a chemical reaction because of evidently a volcanic fissure of some sort.
That's right.
Do you think a lot of
That's right.
A lot of these diseases could be associated with the pollution and the chemicals and you know, like environmental illnesses.
No question at all.
No question about it. And the we've not we found so much relating to this. We touched upon some of it in Heirs of the Gods. But you know, a lot of times, and this is not patronizing people, but I have to say this, that you hesitate to give answers to people before they're able to ask the questions, but now it's time to ask the questions and give them the answers also to help them, those of us who have been blessed with this information.
Yes.
And the sexual, these diseases that have come upon us in terms of... the sexual involvement, the so-called sexual revolution, and the freely involved relationship. All of this is mentioned in the Bible, and
yeah.
I don't want to be a town crier, but now it's time to come to reason.
Up.
Yes.
And you ask about pollution. The principal reason, apparently, for the epidemic of cancer, which has broken out in the last 2 centuries... and particularly this century, is a sequel to the Industrial Revolution. That is, it's putting carcinogens into our environment and through it into our bodies, which our bodies were never designed to handle.
Yes, right.
And
right.
That's one of the reasons why it's so important to get on a proper diet that maintains the biochemistry of the body and to get onto a supplement program which can protect us against it.
It helps. It does protect.
And, there are other things that our industrial age, our highly technological age, have brought to bear which certainly stresses the immune system.
Yes.
And that's just simply the electromagnetism that is in the air of all different kinds, and we're getting
another kind of pollution.
We're being hit now with 3 and 4 and 5 hertz waves of great strength, and
that's right.
We're getting hit with waves that are 28, 29, 30 hertz, which take the calcium right out of the cells whenever you're hit with those waves.
Dr. Andrea Pahorich brought that up.
Pahorich certainly has done a lot of work. I'm wearing Andre's watch now, so I'm protected.
And Dr. Ott's study on light pollution, you know, the fluorescent lights. And
yes.
If you were to sit in the studio,
work
you would think that we were working under candles because Bill doesn't allow lights where he I don't like them.
May I ask one more quick question?
You've got to make it quick. You got 5 seconds.
In regard to recent UFO sightings, does your... Well, maybe you could comment about that, the recent UFO sightings. I'm sure they're going to escalate.
We have a book, chapter in our book called Celestials, Prophets, and UFOs. And we point out that all through the, not only the Bible, but virtually all ancient sacred writings, there are accounts of unidentified flying objects. You find it in the Ramayana. You find it in the Bhagavad Gita.
Right. All right, Kurt.
Thank you very much, Bill. Goodbye now.
Right. To adjust your own immune system, the ability to rest, all of those things can lead you to a longer life. Certainly a much more healthful life. And perhaps a disease-free life. We do it to ourselves. You know, we've been talking a little bit about AIDS. This horrible thing that's on us, and we don't even comprehend the enormity of it, but it's something that we seemingly brought upon ourselves. We have stressed our immune system to such a point that it could not take care of something that it should have been taking care of all along.
Mm-hmm.
And those stresses may have come from the pollution. There are probably societal stresses that we're dealing with now, because the immune system certainly responds to any kind of stress.
That's right.
Anytime we stress ourselves, we are doing ourselves in, which is why that seventh day of rest is so vitally important. And by rest, we mean rest, I think you're talking about. But to most people, the seventh day means we're up and we're out and we're into active in church and active and going down the
and
beach.
Feasting.
And feasting and doing everything but resting. So you really haven't got a seventh day of rest.
If you could fast, that's really what one should
do. So you need to take off one day to do all of that stuff, but you need one day a week to really, truly rest.
What we're talking about is resting the way you're... body compels you to rest, say, when you're ill. If you have the flu, you have no choice.
Yeah.
You rest, and consequently, you recover. But if you do it without being ill, then instead of merely recovering, you do something that is super, that is plus. And we've come back from that 24-hour period. I have, with my blood pressure, 20 points lower than it was when I started.
Uh-huh.
We have run blood panels that show that in just that short period of time, you can get a drop in cholesterol and triglycerides and other measures of body function. It's incredible what it will do. And that means that the rebuilding of the cells takes place at an accelerated rate, and those cells, when they are rebuilt, are more youthful, they're more vigorous.
All of those things.
The indices of aging, as I said earlier, are arrested, and that DNA, we have to go back to that, the DNA... our helix is wound back up again.
And which the Bible talks about time and time again.
Time and time again.
About the tightly winding of the helix of the DNA.
I will be 65 next year, Bill, and I...
That isn't fair either.
I have... my triglycerides are in the 70s to 80s. My cholesterol is around 170 or 80. My blood pressure normally runs 108 or 10 over 70 to 75, as it did when I was a teenager in my early 20s, say. I run 2 miles two or three times a week. I took up karate in my 50s. And
you know you're making it bad for all of us, Lee.
Well, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that these things are intended to be within the normal range of everyone,
right,
and can be if people will just start doing the right things in terms of nutrition and supplements and rest.
I haven't heard you mention much about exercise.
Well, I mentioned that I run
two or three times
a week.
As a part of the information that you came up with out of the Bible. As you know...
We found this.
There's a... You know, we're a bunch of exercise nuts. People are exercising so much out there, they're dropping dead.
Well, it's even part of the Sabbath ritual. Tell them.
Well, part of it is... actually, I got the word to stretch. And it's like the hatha yoga stretching that you do...
Mm-hmm.
Or stretching that you do in meditation. But there's a certain time of... in this 24-hour period, that you, while you're resting, you have a kind of nap. Not a nap. You sleep, but it's somnambulo or kind of comatose,
mm-hmm,
it seems. And then you come up out of that, and you have a meditation period
the whole 24 hours is a meditative involvement.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a meditation where you do the stretching, and that brings the heart, the pulse rate, up
mm-hmm.
to a normal...
Well, stretching is not running 2 miles.
No, that's during the week.
You do that because you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've seen a lot of people that have exercised themselves literally.
Well, we don't really run.
Yeah.
I used to run 5 miles a day when I was working on the book. But we don't really run. What we do is a kind of...
roving.
Roving. And deep breathing as we're roving.
I rove from the bar to the spa.
I'm
sure
you still. What to do with you? What to do? You see, now you are blessed with excellent genes, obviously, and
and good scotch.